Hi everyone, welcome to Grace Point Church. My name's Owen, one of the pastors here. So let me welcome you if you're new or visiting us for the first time. This is the first evening that we're actually we've set up our creche ministry, which is actually happening downstairs, and we're actually trying out our new baby monitor system that hopefully they can hear some of what's going on upstairs, and so hopefully those helping out downstairs can hear us. Or else we'll see what we can do later on. Well, this evening we're continuing towards the end of our series of Galatians chapter 6. And I'll be focusing on verses 1 to 5, really just focusing on that first part of the reading. And I want to let you know ahead of time as well that after the sermon and after a couple of songs, I'll also be giving us an opportunity to ask questions. You can ask any questions about Galatians overall, or you can ask about the specific passage that I'll be speaking on this evening, which has got probably a number of practical implications that we would want to think about. But why don't I now pray, and let's hear God's word together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of life that we have in him. Thank you that in him we have your complete forgiveness and acceptance and approval. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Spirit that enables us, that gives us new desires and enables us to live a new life that follows you. We pray, Father, that now as we listen to your word, that your Spirit might work in us, so that you might help us to know how to live, not only in relationship with you, but also in relationship with each other, in a way that is humble, in a way that is gentle, and in a way that promotes godliness and holiness in each one of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a tragic story in the Herald in about October last year, about a two-year-old girl who was hit by a car in a city called Foshan in southern China. There was a TV camera on that road where the child was hit. And what that camera recorded was 18 people who went past and who didn't stop to give a helping hand. 18 people who walked past, cycled past, or drove past without stopping to help that poor girl. And not only did that happen, but a second car came by and also hit that girl and kept on driving without stopping. And it caused a huge buzz on the internet and on the Chinese version of Facebook. And there were people who were angry, but there were even people who defended those who went by. Two of the witnesses who were interviewed, first-hand witnesses, was interviewed, and they shared their reasoning for what they did. One middle-aged man who was on a scooter who went by said this with an uncomfortable smile on his face. He said, "It wasn't my child, so why should I bother?" But not only did he have that reaction, but The driver of the second car who hit that child had another amazing justification for what he did. The one who didn't stop, who hit the girl again, said this: "If the girl dies, I may have to pay 20,000 yuan. But if she survives, I'll have to pay hundreds of thousands of yuan. See, it's all about what it costs me." They're two incredibly cold-hearted responses, aren't they, to a completely helpless situation. And each of them are basically saying is that it's not my problem. I'm not responsible for my neighbor, and I'm not prepared to be inconvenienced, to have my life inconvenienced, to help a poor, helpless child. Well, this is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches is our responsibility, isn't it, as God's people. The Bible says that you and I are responsible to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love one another as Christ has loved us. We're not just responsible for ourselves, we have a mutual responsibility to care for one another as we see there is need. Paul puts it in this way in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and you will fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ, very briefly, is the law of love. Jesus said in John, John chapter 13 and chapter 15, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. To carry each other's burdens is to fulfill the law of Christ. And it might be in sickness, it might be an emotional burden, it might be when someone is moving house. Whether it's a physical or a spiritual burden that we carry, we are to care for one another. We are to bear one another's burdens to help lighten the load for each other. The specific context that Paul applies this in verses 1 to 5 is when someone is caught in a sin. When someone is caught weighed down with the burden of their sin. Have a look in verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Paul here is talking about an observable sin. A sin that someone commits that obviously impacts that person and that may impact other people also. He's not talking about every sin, every possible sin, or sins that are sins of the heart that are unknown. He's talking about a person who's caught in a sin, observable, personal impact, impacting other people. It might be a brother who's spoken a harsh word against another brother. It might be a sister who's unwilling to forgive someone who's offended them. Or it might be a brother who struggles with purity or with greed. Paul says, in this case, if someone is caught in a sin, the spiritual or the mature person should apply the principle of bearing one another's burdens by seeking to restore that person. Now, to restore means to mend. In the Greek, it's a medical term which can be used to describe the resetting of a broken or fractured bone. Or in another situation, it applies to the mending of fishnets. It's a positive, it's a healing term. It's a goal of restoration. The goal is not to put down or to condemn or to increase the burden. It's to restore using the means of the gospel that God has given us. We can imagine a person who's trying to keep in step with the Spirit, trying to live a godly life, but they stumble over a sin and they fall. And they suffer some dysfunction because of the fall. It might be a conscious sin. It might be a sin that they may not even be conscious of. But Paul says that the Christian's responsibility and task is not to walk over to the other side. It's not to turn a blind eye. But it's to help restore that fallen brother or sister. It's to help them take their sin seriously. And it's to help them to apply the gospel of God's grace to that part of their lives so that they might get up again and continue walking, keeping in step with the Spirit, growing in godliness and holiness, in faith and in trust in Jesus. Now, most of us balk at this responsibility. I think that's true. To a degree, all of us would rather say, it's not my problem. And it is one of the most difficult tasks that God has given for us to do, to deal with the sins of other people. But that it's difficult doesn't mean we should shirk it. that we should ignore it and walk to the other side. Notice who it is that he's called to do this. Paul doesn't say, if you who are a pastor or you who are an elder, Paul says, you who are spiritual, you who have cultivated a habit of keeping in step with the Spirit, you who bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And this means potentially any mature Christian. And all of us are called to live by the Spirit, aren't we? All of us are called to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to be spiritual. We may all be at very various degrees of maturity or the knowledge of God in our Christian lives. But it doesn't say, it doesn't exclude everyone who's not a pastor or an elder or even a community group leader. All of us are called to be mature, and Paul shows us what that maturity would look like in this situation. Responding to sin in a loving and a godly way is an every member responsibility. And it's one of the goals for having community groups, of doing life together. We share our lives together so that we share our lives, share who we are, share our struggles and our sins, so that we can actually spur each other on, keep each other accountable, speak the gospel into one another's lives. And as again and again I've said, it's not only a leadership responsibility. My brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Now, although it might not be something that's comfortable and might not be culturally comfortable, this is what I want to say by personal example. I too want to authorize anyone in my group or any growing or maturing Christian who sees me caught in a sin to come and speak to me about it. Because that's one way that you would be caring for your pastor. That's one way you'd be caring for your leader. And because it's not an easy thing, it may be one of the most loving things that you can do for your leader, for your pastor, for your elder. Because you'll be helping them, you'll be helping me to grow in holiness and in godliness, which is what I want to do, which is what the Holy Spirit wants each of us to do. And that's what we're all called to do for one another. This is part of living the life of the Spirit. Now, what's the opposite response to when you're offended by someone's sin? It might be a sin that you see, or it might be a sin that's done against you. Let me tell you the opposite response, the wrong response. One of the worst things you can do is to walk away from relationship with a Christian brother or sister in Christ. And one of the most extreme responses is to not only walk away from that relationship, but ultimately to leave the church altogether. And I actually know people for which this has happened. See, rather than lovingly respond, rather than speaking the truth in love, rather than being willing to forgive, you'll just get up, pick up your whole family, and leave and go to another church. And I'll have no care and no responsibility for that person involved. I'll just bounce around from one church to another until I find the perfect church that doesn't exist. You see, the church is not a place where we'll find perfect people. The church is a place where we'll find broken people who learn to show God's grace to one another. And it needs to begin with each one of us as we share our lives, as we share our brokenness, that we also share the gospel with each other and experience God's grace and forgiveness and encouragement when we do sin. So when was the last time you spoke the truth in love into someone else's life? When was the last time you spoke into someone's life who was struggling with sin? See, that is part of the Christian walk. That is part of the freedom that we have in Christ. That we can be free to speak the truth in love to one another and appreciate that gift. This is part of our one another ministry. Carry each other's burdens in this way, and you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Paul doesn't just tell us what to do, but he also tells us how to do it. In verse 1, the first way he tells us to do it is to do it with gentleness. Paul says, restore your brother or your sister in a spirit of gentleness. Because gentleness reflects the gentleness and the patience of God towards each and every one of us who have sinned against Him. God doesn't turn a blind eye to our sins, but He calls us to turn back to Him continually, receiving His offer of forgiveness. And God doesn't overwhelm us by threatening us with all the curses and the burdens of the law, but He wins us over by sending His own Son Jesus to die and to absorb the full penalty for each one of our sins. And God is always that loving Father who is ready to welcome the prodigal son with welcome arms, with open arms. And that's the way that we are to restore our brother or sister who is caught in a sin, with that same spirit of gentleness that we have experienced in the gospel and which we are to reflect to one another. A gentleness that is a fruit of the Spirit. That's the first way we're to respond. The second way is in verses 3 to 5, which is with humility, a gospel-centered humility. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. See, the temptation that Paul is talking about in verse 1 is the temptation to spiritual pride. The danger when we see someone caught in a sin is for us to sin by committing the sin of self-righteousness. Now, self-righteousness is when we see the sins of others as bigger than what they really are, magnified in our own eyes. And it's when we see our own sins as smaller than they really are, minimized in our own eyes. It's seeing the speck in my brother or sister's eye without first taking the log out of my own eye. And our human pride always does that to us, doesn't it? And we always compare ourselves to others. We compare how smart we are, or how much other people have struggled, how many people have struggled with that same exam that we breathe through, or that we might have struggled through. We compare ourselves to how much other people earn relative to ourselves. We compare ourselves in terms of our godliness or even how humble we are compared to other people, which is the greatest irony, isn't it? Have a look in verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Jesus spoke strongly against the sin of self-righteousness. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus responded to those who were confident about their own righteousness with the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. These two men, Pharisee, religious, church-going guy who keeps the law, heads into the synagogue. After him comes a sinful tax collector. They both go into the temple to pray, and the Pharisee stands there, and he prays about himself, Jesus says. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, gangsters, drug users, or even like this tax collector. But the tax collector himself stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat his own breast and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And it's the humble attitude of the tax collector, Jesus says, who went away justified, accepted and loved by God. It's the humility, the humble attitude of that tax collector that Jesus commends. And it's the attitude that we are called to adopt when we try to restore a brother or sister who's caught in a sin. Beware of the danger of feeling good because of other people's failures and of ignoring your own sins. Before God, each of us are equally guilty. Before God, we are equally undeserving of God's grace. Before God, each one of us have received the grace of God through the death of the Son of God on the cross for you and I. We'll never deserve it any more than anyone else. And we need to humble ourselves at the foot of the cross, even as we seek to help our brother and sister to walk and to live and to follow Jesus. And in verses 4-5, Paul continues by telling us that we should examine ourselves. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. See, Paul is saying, don't let another person's failure be a source of your own pride. Don't grow superior on the basis of someone else being inferior relative to yourself. It's your own conduct that you should concentrate on, your own godliness, and not the godliness or the performance of another person. Humility, see, comes by a godly, gospel-centered assessment of ourselves in the light of what Christ has done and revealed in each one of us. And the primary benchmark for our life of godliness is God's perfect law, against which we constantly fail, don't we? And it's Jesus' perfect obedience, again, which we fall short of constantly. And Paul says that at the end of the day, each of us individually are accountable to God for what we have done, not what someone else has done. And that's what he means when he says that each should carry his own load. Each of us, as we try to help others, are also ultimately accountable for ourselves. So you see, there's two basic responses that we can make to someone else's sin. The first is to respond in indifference and in pride. I'm glad I'm not as bad as that other person. The second is with gentleness and humility. I'm just as much in need of the gospel as you. I'm equally undeserving of God's grace as my fallen brother or sister is. And it's only by God's grace that I am what I am. I'm equally prone to self-righteous pride. I'm equally prone to greed. I also struggle with being a godly father and a godly husband, a godly student or a godly co-worker or a godly child in my family. But each day I learn to live by God's grace. I seek to grow in godliness and walk in humble dependence on God's Holy Spirit who leads me in new desires that please God. See, it's only with this humility in the light of the gospel that I've experienced that I'm actually set free. I'm set free to be concerned about myself. I'm set free to be concerned about how I look, how I appear, or how I feel. And I'm set free to be devoted to really caring for my brother and sister in Christ. Whether they appreciate my care or not, whether they respond, welcome my help, or reject my help, I'll be devoted to helping him or her. And I'll come as a fellow traveler, not out of a sense of superiority, but out of a sense of mutual obligation to love one another as Christ has called us to love, to speak the truth in love to each other. Because you see, that is how Paul says that we as a Christian community will grow. Have a look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Quickly turn with me to Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead of being blown here and there by every wind of teaching and remaining immature, Paul says in verse 15, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. For from him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And notice the work that Paul singles out there. It's the work of speaking the truth in love. And that is how we, as a community in Christ, as a people who have God's Spirit, are called to grow, are called to express our one another ministry towards each other. So let me bring together a number of the points that Paul and which God by His Spirit is speaking to us this evening. The first is this. Combating sin is a community project. It's not a solo adventure. And you and I have a mutual responsibility to care for our brother or sister in Christ, to spur one another on in godliness and in holiness as we share our lives, to speak the truth in love to each other as we share our struggle in our sins with each other. Combating sin is a community project. Second, it takes spiritual maturity and a spirit-led love to do it. It's not just leaders who are called to do it. It's all who are walking by the Spirit, who are called to be prepared to restore those that we see who are caught in sin. Thirdly, when you restore someone who sins, do it with a gentleness and humility that honors the gospel. Fourthly, when we understand that combating sin is a community project, then we also, who do sin, won't always reject the help that is offered to us, that comes to us lovingly and humbly. But we will welcome it, we'll receive it, and we will open our lives to it. Now this is a completely counter-cultural to our society. And it may be countercultural to each one of us. And it may be uncomfortable. But it is the life of the Spirit that God has called us to live. And it is the reason why our community groups exist. To respond, to study and respond to God's word as He speaks to us. To do life together, speaking the truth in love and serving each other. And to be on mission for Jesus together. And it is that doing of life together under the gospel that Paul is highlighting for us in the context of a brother or sister caught in sin. Now, the two-year-old girl who was hit by two cars was eventually rescued by a 58-year-old female rubbish collector. Someone who was loving enough and humble enough to inconvenience herself. And this girl was taken to the hospital, but by the time she was taken there, it was too late. Now, each one of us are called to carry out our God-given responsibility to bear one another's burdens. We're responsible not only to carry our own load. It's not for us to put our load onto other people. We do carry our own. But at the same time, we're called to care for one another by reaching out to those who are in need of help, who struggle with sin. That's what the Spirit calls us to do, to live out a life that follows Him in a spirit of gentleness and a spirit of humility. Let me pray. Father God, we thank You that You are the one who knows us most deeply and intimately. You know all of our sins, the ugly side of our character, our thoughts and our desires. And yet, You love us. Yet You've forgiven us through Your Son, Jesus. And You've called us to live a new life, empowered and led by Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as you show us our true selves, as you show us Your grace and Your gentleness, so help us to show the same gentleness and humility towards one another. Help us to love each other. Help us to be bold. Help us to serve as You have called us to serve one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.